And praise the Lord, we're ready to go. We are one of Messiah congregation at another Feast of Tabernacles in 2015. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom. And the trumpet's sounding better. I listened to last year's trumpet. It sounded good last year too, but it's sounding a little bit better this year. So praise the Lord. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chad BeMashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, and it's a Sabbath of God. So it's the first, here we are, the first day. And we'll ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, and Creator of all things, first we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. Thank and praise you, Lord and God, for another rehearsal of the Feast of Tabernacles. Even though we'd rather be with you, tabernacling throughout eternity right now, but we're here, and I know you have a purpose for us on this planet. Bless and anoint this day. Bless the study. Let it be fruitful. Let us grow in God. Let us grow in encouragement and faith and wisdom and understanding and the fear of the Lord. Give us discernment and revelation of your word, Father. We just thank and praise you. We could be here at this time, in this generation, and try to get your word out to as many people as possible. Bless and anoint this Feast of Tabernacles, and let us understand more and more. Bless everyone here. I pray you'll send down healing upon everyone. Strengthen everyone spiritually and physically. Help us all, Lord and God, in every endeavor. Give us right decisions, right opportunities to enter into, and anything that's not of you, stop it. Heavenly Father, we trust you for these things, and we lean upon you, and you're our shield and buckler, and we just thank and praise you that you're our Father and we're your children. And we thank God for the blood of Yeshua and the atonement that you have supplied us with. Thank God in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Here we are. I'm so happy to be here at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I was thinking of so many things. By the way, September 28th came, and we're still here. The whole world was in fear of the blood moons, and I don't even remember seeing it because it was cloudy. What do you think of that? But anyway, that sort of came and gone, the prediction of the collapse of the whole world, the collapse of America and the dollar and the collapse. That's a joke, isn't it? Here we are again, but everyone made a lot of money on it. Those people are selling their books and their DVDs and their CDs. And I remember John Hagee and some other people saying that 2015, yeah, the blood moon is going to be a however he talks. But anyway, here we are. It came and gone. Today's the last day of the month. Today's the 30th of September. I mean, you know, nothing happened. He was still here. Yeah. So I don't remember. I looked on the net too. I don't even hear anybody talking about the blood moon anymore. That's over. That's come and gone. They probably say, "Oh, it's really going to happen in December or January or next year." But anyway, I thank God we could be here at the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, I was thinking today too. Also, we have 10 days left to our congregation building here before we're moving right down the block, Lord willing. So we got a lot of things going on. We're just going to be moving right down to the corner, Lord willing. Yeah. Yes, over here, because that place is for sale, and we're going to go get this other place. But thank God we're here on the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's a nice day today. It's sort of looking fallish out there. And it's the Feast of Ingathering. There it is in Hebrew. Chag HaSukkot, which sounds plural to me. And also Chag HaAsif. And we're here. You know, this is the feast that going towards the end of the year. It's the last harvest of the year. And it sounds just like when the Messiah comes back, you know, that last harvest, the last of everything. In Exodus 34:22, it says, "Thou shalt observe the feast of weeks and the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end." And we're going towards the end of the year because it's the seventh month of God. And the seventh month of God is, of course, Ethanim. Even though everyone's calling it September, it's Ethanim, and we're on the 15th day, which is really important. By now, I'm sure you guys all know what Ethanim means, right? It's the first and last forever, and God is he's the God of the universe, and he's the enduring permanent brooks. Amen. And there's all the definitions there. You could read those all yourself, Ha'etanim. Okay? Most people never heard of Ha'etanim for some reason. It's in 1 Kings 8:2, and the definite article is always there. It's Ha'etanim. And most people, all they know is September or Tishrei, and Ha'etanim is lost. But we try to bring it into focus. Today's topic is, of course, Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Coverings, Feast of Ingathering, Sukkot. It's a booth, you know. It's really nice. Leviticus, we get this from Leviticus 23, that God has his own feasts, which are lost in the annals of time here, and Sabbaths. Today's a Sabbath. Most people don't even know about that. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning, These are the feasts of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, and God goes right into the Sabbath. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, Shabbat Shabbaton, a holy convocation, a mikra kodesh, ye shall do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. So today, wherever we dwell, it's so nice to have a Sabbath right in the middle of everything here. Stop everything. Stop thinking about everything. These are the feasts of Yehovah, even holy convocations, which we do proclaim in their seasons. We don't just do them when we feel like it, but in God's Moedim, you know, God's seasons and his times. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, we're going to go gather, after we have gathered in the fruit of the land, which we don't have any lands to gather in fruit. You shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. On the first day is a Sabbath, which we're doing right now, and the eighth day is going to be a Sabbath. And we're going to take today, on the first day, we're going to go get boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and we're going to rejoice before Jehovah our God 7 days. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about that last night, you know, unfortunately, people today, you know, do the Sabbath, and then tomorrow they go to work and stuff like that. And I was thinking how in the Bible they would never do that. They just had the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. There was no go to work, you know, in the middle. But we have to survive, and we're in a different century and a different way of living at this time. You know, it's a sort of a weird thing to think of. Because it's supposed to be a feast for 7 days, and it's hard to do a feast when there's only a few people. But I was thinking, the children of Israel, they didn't have any jobs anyway. They were in the wilderness, right? They couldn't really go anywhere. But at the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, you know, I'm sure they had jobs, but they found it written in the book, they're supposed to keep the feast for 7 days. And, you know, I don't know, as we learn more and more, and we get a little more purified, something to think about down the road in life. And I'm hoping next year, Lord willing, we'll be on our property. We'll be able to even keep a real Sabbath. I feel like it'd be a lot different than the Sabbaths we keep even now. But that's just some thoughts I've been having, because we won't be having other people, you know, companies running water and, you know, electric and all that kind of stuff. But we'll really be keeping a real Sabbath, just like they did at the time of the Lord and the time of the you know, the apostles. There was nothing stopping them. It was just Sabbath. Everything stopped, period. And I wonder about that sometimes, and it's hard to think about because we got so dependent on electricity and, you know, the water department and all these things running for us. And, all you know, so, I don't know. This seems a little more closer. But I like purifying myself more and more, so I like doing things that are less... I don't have to think about these other things. They just get out of my mind that people are running the electric company and the water department and all this kind of stuff. And there's people there working. And I'm using the services, you know. So I don't know. You could say that's straining, or I like to be a little more. I don't like to have that in my mind. So it'll be out of my mind by next year, thank God. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this today, because it says on the first day, I'm going to get all these branches and everything and do this. That's when you're supposed to do it. And I'm going to keep it a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. Every day, Lord willing, we'll be on in the morning, I hope, at 9 o'clock. I think we decided that last night, right? It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate in the seventh month. And we're going to do that. And we're going to dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. And, you know, I was wondering about the children of Israel. Seeing that their whole life was in a booth or a tent because they were in the wilderness. So I wonder what they did different on that time. I know Ezra and Nehemiah actually went and built booths in the top of their roofs and in the courtyards, and they built them all over the place just to mimic what they did in the wilderness, which is, I don't know what they did there really, because they were traveling. They didn't have permanent homes, you know what I mean? They were just maneuvering there in the wilderness for 40 years. Excuse me? Yeah, when you come into the land. So I guess when they came into the land of Israel, that's when they started doing it. Just trying to purify my thoughts and being, as opposed to, like it says in the book of Daniel, supposed to purify ourselves and make ourselves more white. You shall dwell in booths 7 days, all that are Israelites born. We're all born again into the Israel of God. And that's why I'm going to do that. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God. Just think, when they dwelled in booths, they didn't have any other places to go. I guess in Nehemiah's time, they could have went back to wherever they live or whatever. But I don't know I really don't know what they did. I wish we had too bad they didn't have any videos of what they did, you know. That would be nice. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah. And this is so important, and I'm happy that we could all do this. It says, my Sabbath ye shall keep. It's a sign. It is really a sign. And Exodus 31:12, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses. Jehovah spoke unto Moses. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. It's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Jehovah that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And that's very important. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to Jehovah. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. And that's why... there's nothing we could do, nothing you could really do about it. People working all around you, and we live in these communities, you know, that people, everyone's working their brains out, but you're not. So I'm happy, Lord willing, next year, where I'm at, there's nobody working or anywhere near me. And, you know, not that, I don't know if that's any better. I'm just saying we can't stop with the world, what they're doing out there, you know what I mean? Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Amen. So here we have the feast of ingathering, the last ingathering, and the final harvest. You know, and you can read some of this in the book of the Gospel of Matthew. Yeshua put forth unto them, saying, a parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came. So he had an enemy. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. This is Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 and 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. I never really noticed that before, his enemy. You ever notice that before? But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. I have an idea, he said, but let both grow together unto the harvest. That's what's happening in this world. All the wicked and the righteous are here together. And in the time of harvest, I'll say to the preparers, which are the angels, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat into my barn. And that's exactly a picture of the end of the world right there. And that's the final harvest right there, which is really supernatural, if you think of all that. You know, if you think about the lives of the children of Israel, and even at the times of the apostles and Yeshua, they had less things to hinder them from doing everything 100% closer and you know, to what we're supposed to do. Nowadays, we made all these comforts of life that just might, hope, you know, I don't know, hope they don't become a snare unto us. Numbers 29:12, and on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. It's a feast for 7 days. The first day, now look at this, just to show you what they did. The first day, you shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah, 13 young bullocks. So in other words, everyone had, they had animals, right? And they had to make sure someone was monitoring, that made sure they had the first too, with no blemishes. And you had to have rams, because you needed 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish. I wonder if that was hard to do. It says, and their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tent deals unto every bullock of the 13 bullocks, 2 tent deals to each ram of the 2 rams, and several tent deals to each lamb of the 14 lambs, and 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering, besides the continual burnt offering, his meat offering, and his drink offering. It's amazing. That's just that one day's activities there, right?
And this is for the whole group of Israel.
Yeah, this is for the whole group of Israel. Everybody in Israel wasn't, right, everybody wasn't doing this. This is the priests and everybody, right? Everybody in Israel wasn't doing this. But I want you to keep your eyes on the bullocks there, because we started out with 13, right? And on the second day, you shall offer 12 young bullocks. 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot, and their meat offering, and their meat offerings, and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, and for the lambs, shall be according to their number after the manner, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and the meat offering thereof, and their drink offerings. And here's it says, and on the third day, now we're going down to 11 bullocks. So we started out with 13, now 11. Everything else seems to stay the same. 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs, shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering. On the 4th day of this feast, I don't think they had time to do anything else. They had all, it says on the 4th day, 10 bullocks. 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish. Whew. Their meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs, shall be according to their number after their manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the 5th day, now we're down to 9 bullocks. 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish. Think about how many animals this is. And their meat offerings and their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs, shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and his meat offering, and his drink offering. On the 6th day, 8 bullocks. We went down from 13, we started on from 13 to 8, right? 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, their meat offering, their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs, shall be according to their number after the manner, and 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. And on the 7th day, here's the last day of the feast, the 7th day shall, now it's only 7 bullocks. That turned out perfect. So the 7th day, 7 bullocks. 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without blemish, their meat offering, their drink offerings for the bullocks, for the rams, for the lambs, shall be according to their number after the manner. And 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. Now you might think, well, that's sort of a lot of that's redundant, and what are we reading all that for? Well, I'll explain in a little bit. And a solemn assembly on the 8th day, so the 7-day feast is over, but there's a special 8th day, you should have a solemn assembly. You should have no servile work. There it is right there in Hebrew. And this is totally different. You shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah, Just one bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish. Their meat offering, their drink offerings for the bullock, for the ram, for the lambs shall be according to their number after the manner. And one goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering, and his meat offering, and his drink offering. That's a lot of stuff, I think, in plain English. These things you shall do unto Jehovah in your set feasts. Now this is beside your vows and beside your freewill offerings, for your burnt offerings and for your meat offerings and for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings. So it sounds like we should be doing a lot more things for God, huh? Instead of just thinking about it. And Moses told the children of Israel according to all that Jehovah commanded Moses. Anyway, so just counting the 7 days of the feast, they had to have on hand 70 bullocks. I mean, 70 bullocks. That's a whole herd. And they had to have a total of 98 lambs of the first year without blemish. That's amazing. And they had to have 14 rams. And believe it or not, when you add 70 and 98 and 14, you get 182. And all these numbers are divisible by 7. Total goats for the sin offerings were 7. So the number 7 seems to be prominent here. But that's a lot. Think about all the animals they had to have ready for this feast. It's a lot. Also in these verses, and their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3 tenth deals unto every bullock and the 13 bullocks, 2 tenth deals to each ram of 2 rams, and a several tenth deal to each lamb of the 14 lambs. And one kid of the goats for a sin offering. So there's 3 tenth deals times 70 bullocks, that's 210. 2 tenth deals times 98 rams, that's 196. 7 tenth deals, 1 tenth times 14 lambs is 14. Just add 210, 196, and 14, you get 420. Or you can parse that down to 42, take off the zero, and that's divisible by 7. This is besides the continual burnt offering and their meat offering thereof and their drink offerings, which is all divisible by 7. So if you, and I don't know if it's just accidental, but it all sort of comes out that way. And I guess you can double check my math. Maybe I did something wrong. I don't think so, but I don't know. But I was thinking the number 7 is sort of everywhere. So, and then we have this thing called the year of release at the end of every 7 years. There's the number 7 again. Is the during the Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to have something called the Shemitah, you know? And that's the year of release. And we don't know when that is. That's the only problem. So even though everyone's been talking about the Shemitah lately, we don't follow Judaism, but that's the end of every 7 years. And this is Deuteronomy 15. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. At the end of every 7 years. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lends aught unto his neighbor shall release it. That's nice. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called Yehovah's release. That's nice. Of course, that's over in this world. So the year of release, the Shemitah, is a good thing. Of a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thine own Of a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for Jehovah shall greatly bless you in the land which Jehovah thy God gives you for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For Jehovah thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. Amen. That's the position you want to be in. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which Jehovah thy God gives you, then thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, and that which he lacks, wants. You know, if we don't have a lot of brothers and sisters, but if we had any, we would definitely assist them. And it wouldn't be, I know it's a commandment, but we would do it out of a joyful heart and willingly, you know, we'd want to. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cries unto Jehovah against thee, and it be sin unto you. Wow. It says, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when you give unto him. Because for that thing, Jehovah thy God will bless you in all that, for in all your works, and in all that you put your hand unto. Amen. We try to help people, and if you know anybody that needs assistance, we're definitely here in the body of Messiah, that is. Keep knowing that you keep the commandments. We are, you know, and I hope you feel the same way.
Yes.
For the poor shall never cease out of the land. There's always going to be the poor. Therefore I command you, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to thy needy in thy land. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto you, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. Isn't that nice? And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Of course not. You're going to furnish him liberally out of thy flocks and out of thy floor and out of thy wine presses, and that which Jehovah thy God blessed you, thou shalt give unto him. Of course. Why not? And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah thy God redeemed you. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Wow. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loves you and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an oar and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. So, isn't that amazing, huh? It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him. Wait a minute, let's see, where was I? It says, it shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he had been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and Jehovah thy God shall bless thee in all that thou do, that you do. All the firstling males that come of the herd and of thy flocks, thou shalt sanctify unto Jehovah thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Isn't that interesting? Thou shalt eat it before. Thou shalt eat it before Jehovah thy God, year by year, in the place which Jehovah shall choose, thou and thy household. And if there be any blemish therein, if it be lame or blind or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto Jehovah thy God. Of course not. God does not want anything that's fallen apart or your old clothes or, you know. Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean person and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof. Thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. And then we have Deuteronomy 31, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles. So it says, when all Israel has come to appear before Jehovah thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this Torah before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, children, and thy stranger that's within your gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear Jehovah your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Anyway, we'll be reading and studying scripture for the seven feast. Join us if you can. In the book of Revelation, we have, this is what it's all about. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise the Lord. Anyway, happy rehearsal of the Feast of Tabernacles, and we'll see you online, Lord willing, I hope. I mean, we'll hear you online. And this is just a little study I put together, and a conglomeration, I guess, of all the studies I've done in the past. But it's getting to be a little more clearer and trying to purify ourselves a little more as time progresses. But that is the study for today, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering. It has a lot of significance to the end of the world in someone's lifetime, whenever that is. And the trumpet will sound, and I hope you were atoned, and hope you will be atoned, and me too, and because we want a tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. So that's very important. But I'm going to say thank you for being here today, and hope you got something different out of today's study, and it's a little trying to refine everything a little closer. So Shabbat Shalom, and may God bless you and be with you for the rest of your life, and may God be with us throughout eternity. God bless you on the Feast of Tabernacles this year, 2015.